T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
MLS is back. First game last night, Orlando City beating Miami 2-1 in overtime. Jason Longshore is going to join us in about 20 minutes or so. We'll talk with Jason about the opening game of MLS and what we can expect to see Saturday night when Atlanta United takes the field in Orlando against New York Red Bulls. We'll do that coming up again in about 20 minutes. Right now, a little bit of rapid fire. And yesterday, guys, Oren, Abe, and especially to you, Hugh, our Twitter, 929 The Game, they sent out the note that the Braves had made a statement and said, look, we're not going to change our name. But they did say this, too, that had Braves fans in their feelings hard. Braves reportedly considering forbidding a mock Native American chant at their home stadium. It was the word forbidding, Hugh, that got a lot of Braves fans up in arms here. Do you think if the Braves forbid the chop, you know, are you inclined, if you were at a game, to still do it?
No. I mean, because it's disrespectful. You know, it doesn't affect me because I'm not Native American, but I care about the Native Americans that live here in this country that we call America. So if it offends them, then I'm not going to do it.
Because I got a lot of all hell no's, on that. Oren, if they are forbidding, and I don't know how they forbid it, are you still doing the chop?
No, I'm not doing it. Andy Bunker, a couple days ago, I had a really good point about this. Said if you're going to a Braves game just to do the tomahawk chop, are you really a Braves fan? Like, they can take that away. Like, that's not going to – the fact that the chop is being removed, that's not going to take away my fandom for that team. Like, I'm a fan of the team. Everything else is sort of superfluous. But, yeah, that's not going to affect me to make, like – it's not going to affect me in a way to make me cheer differently. Like, if they say I'm not supposed to do it, then I won't do it.
Abe, I don't know how they can forbid it. I think fans are going to do it regardless. The question is, would you do it?
Well, look, there might be a smattering of fans that do it. The easiest way to do it, I mean, most of the time it's being done, it's because the Braves play the music to start it off. I don't need it. I mean, look, it's not like the long-running tradition that began with the team in 66. It started in 91 or something with Dion. I mean, it's not even our tradition. It started at a college south of us. So, no, it doesn't hold this sort of special significance to me, so I'd be absolutely fine if it was gone.
All right, question number two in rapid fire. Which new NFL coach, we were talking earlier in the program about getting off to a quick start, and I think you and I agreed that of the teams in Atlanta, the one that has to get off to the quickest start has got to be the Atlanta Falcons.
Yes.
All right. Which new NFL head coach will be under the most pressure to get his team on the same page at training camp? We're not talking about, you know, wins and losses here. We're talking about quick starts to get on the same page. There's five new NFL head coaches. Which one's going to be on the most pressure to try to get all of his guys, all right, we got to get on the same page because, you know, no matter whether you have new players or not, and everybody does have new players, you have a new coach and a new system. So who's under the most pressure to get it done as quickly as possible? Mike McCarthy with the Cowboys, Kevin Stefanski with the Browns, Matt Rhule with the Panthers, Ron Rivera of Team No Nickname, or Joe Judge of the Giants?
Honestly, John, I don't think any coach is going to be in any pressure given the circumstances under which they're coaching. But if I had to go with one just because of for the purposes of what we're talking about, I would probably say Mike McCarthy, because you're talking about with him and what he brings to the table, you know, what he has accomplished in his career, and what the Dallas Cowboys have down there, that a lot of people are going to be looking at the Dallas Cowboys to win the division. You know, and they're going to be looking at the Dallas Cowboys to be super competitive in the NFC East. So I would say him, Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, I think that's fair, Orrin. I mean, the Cowboys are going to have Super Bowl attached to their name by their fans. I don't know if any of the other teams do. I mean, but there are Browns fans out there thinking, you know, Kevin Stefanski's got to do something for us because we have all this talent and it hadn't happened for us. Third coach in 3 years. Who's under the most pressure to get everybody kind of on the same page? Is it Matt Rhule, Ron Rivera, Joe Judge, Kevin Stefanski, Mike McCarthy?
I'm going to say Joe Judge. Like, I understand the pressure that McCarthy is under in Dallas and how that team is perennial, like a Super Bowl or bust team. But New York is a different breed of animal when it comes to that media. And Joe Judge is a first-time head coach, a first-time guy. McCarthy's done it before. Joe Judge is not. Like, as a matter of fact, he was just a coordinator, like, when he was at in New England. So, yeah, if it doesn't get together fast, you're going to see very, very quickly that team, the media turn against him in the same way that they've turned against the other guy up there in New York.
Yeah, so it is an interesting point that, you know, because there's a lot of pressure on Joe Judge, Abe, because there's, you know, a lot of Monday morning quarterbacking, so to speak, going into that hire to begin with. And so the microscope that he's under, and Orrin's not wrong, he knows it, he played in New York. Who is it of these five new head coaches, in your opinion, Abe, who's going to be under the most pressure to get everybody kind of on the same page right from the start?
Yeah, it's Joe Judge for two reasons. One, I mean, Joe Judge gets hired and, like, what's the first article that comes out? Who is Joe Judge and why is he the 30th best candidate? Like, isn't that, like, everyone's talking about why there's so many other candidates they could have gone with as opposed to him, and there's all these questions. The other part of this is, and it's based on how you shape the question, John, get everyone on the same page and all that stuff. You're at a point now that you need to figure out now if Daniel Jones is your quarterback of the future. And for that reason, he needs to have this team on the same page or it's going to cost Daniel Jones his career. And you know they're not going to be very patient. You talked about the New York media, but you're also coming off a stretch where you just had a quarterback in Eli Manning for like 12, 13, 14, however many it was, and you had no question marks. Now there's all sorts of question marks. And they had question marks at head coach job. Oh, Joe Judge is in some trouble.
Mm. All right, question number three in rapid fire, a little rapid fire here for you. We're going to move out of the sports world here. Tom Hanks has a new film coming out that I can't wait for. It's called Greyhound. I've been seeing all the promos for it. It was originally going to be a theatrical release. It's a World War II film. He plays a captain on a ship in World War II. A lot of action.
Another captain on a ship?
Yeah, this time it's going to be his ship.
Yeah, look at me, my ship.
Yeah. It's his ship. It really looks like a great World War II action film, you know, shooting at the Nazis and all that. And they're going to release it on Apple TV next week, and it looks like it's going to be really good. So the question is, what is the best Tom Hanks movie, Hugh? Is it Gump? Is it Private Ryan, Philadelphia, Apollo 13, Castaway, League of Their Own, Da Vinci Code, you name it. Catch Me If You Can. What is the best Tom Hanks movie?
Man, I would probably have to go with Forrest Gump because it's timeless. You know, because you still hear people to this day every now and then still quote lines from that movie. You know, stupid is and stupid does. Life is like a box of chocolates. Castaway was really good, too, though. You know, because you hear people making references to that movie. But I would probably go, I'm going Forrest Gump.
All right, Orrin, what is the best, you know, without doing any of the three Meg Ryan films like Sleepless in Seattle, You Got Mail, or Joe versus the Volcano?
Oh, no. Don't take away Joe versus the Volcano.
I didn't take it away. Okay, fine, if you want to call it. All right, what's the best Tom Hanks movie?
There's some that I'm sort of particular to. Like, I love Bachelor Party. I love Turner and Hooch. Does A League of Their Own count?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, then I'm probably going to go to League of Their Own. But Joe versus the Volcano has a special place in my heart because it's such a dumb movie.
It is a dumb movie.
But it's a dumb, funny movie. And in that same vein, like Bachelor Party, it's a dumb movie. But it's a dumb, funny movie. So, yeah, 80s Tom Hanks did dumb, funny movies.
But then it's amazing how he came up. Like, all of a sudden, you know, he get a couple good roles, like Forrest Gump. And now he's one of the most respected actors in Hollywood.
He's that dude.
Yeah, he's that guy.
He is that dude. Green Mile was a great film. I mean, from Bosom Buddies to what he's done now. All right, so Abe, you are a resident movie guy. What's the best Tom Hanks movie of all time?
I think he's not going to guess. Yeah, he's in his feelings. He don't like Tom Hanks.
I guess he doesn't. We lose Abe there? Let us know when Abe's back. Okay.
Somebody just tweeted in, my man Bird Dog said, is the best Tom Hanks movie is The Burbs. I remember going to the movies to see The Burbs. It was pretty funny because when he was like, take me to the hospital. He had his eye all covered and he just wanted to get on the stretcher and leave.
All right, is he back?
That
with
was pretty funny.
Abe?
Yeah, I'm here. I forgot to take my I put my phone on mute and off mute, and I forgot to take it off mute. So that's dumb. That's a dumb mistake. I think Hugh's kind of right up on this one. Everyone has different reasons for liking different films, but to me, Forrest Gump it's tough to say it shaped his career because he's had so many great films, but Forrest Gump, to me, is the one that always stands out.
Yeah, I was torn between three. Forrest Gump, Big, and Apollo 13, because he was so great in all three, and Big was, of course, the movie that really shot him to fame. But I think of the movies, I think Apollo 13 is the best film. He was so great as Jim Lovell. I love that film, though I love all three. All right, final question here. When you make hamburgers at home on the grill, what do you put on them, Hugh?
When I make hamburgers, the basics, onions,
okay,
barbecue sauce.
All right.
The special season, the secret season is that you put on it, that stuff like that.
Okay, that's you go onions, barbecue sauce, and that's all you do. I mean, I'm just
secret
curious.
Sauce, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Oren, when you make burgers at home, what do you put on them?
Extra meat.
I was going to say that, but I was like, he wants an answer.
That's question. It. It's a bun with extra meat.
It's a meat sandwich.
I season, but truth be told, just like give me, I want a fat burger.
But you don't put anything on it.
I mean, yeah, I put salt and pepper. I've got
you don't
really
put cheese
into,
on it. You don't put
basic, I thought you meant the like when you're making a burger, the ingredients.
What do you put on the burger?
Oh, the accoutrement. Oh, I'm a bacon, cheese, and then either ketchup or barbecue sauce, depending how saucy I'm feeling.
You feeling real? When you feeling real saucy?
Okay, so you eat bacon cheeseburgers, barbecue bacon cheeseburgers.
That's correct, John. Frick.
Okay, there you go, Abe. What do you put on your hamburger when you cook it at home?
Not to make this as complicated as I always do, but I mean, I like to mix things up. So I'm kind of a lot of.
All right, what's your go-to?
What those guys have said. Sometimes I do. Honestly, normally just like cheese, lettuce, ketchup, and mustard. A little bit of salt, a little bit of pepper. But if I have a little pickle slice, and throw a couple on there. Definitely lettuce for crunch too. I mean, but yeah, I like barbecue sauce. Sometimes I like.
Yeah, barbecue sauce with some bacon, that takes
egg,
it to another
fried
level.
Fried eggs sometimes.
That's another level. I don't know about the fried eggs, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I probably exist at breakfast. So because my wife was getting on me, they may have been saying, is there a burger in there? Because I put on pickles, jalapenos, onion, red onion, white onion, lettuce, tomato.
That's a lot.
And mustard.
What kind of bread you using? Like cardboard bread? Because the bread that you're using is not going to sustain all of that you're putting on your burger, I would think.
I get the big bun, you know? And do it like a McDLT. Remember those things?
Yeah, back in the day. Good eating. That's some good eating.
Yeah, McDLTs. What is a McDLT? Never mind. If you don't remember it, it's a long time ago. Jason Longshore, Atlanta United analyst. What do we expect now that MLS is back? What can we see on Saturday night when United takes the field against Red Bulls? He'll join us live next after a CBS Sports Minute. On a professional level, have returned to the United States. And we are now all getting ready for day after tomorrow and the return of the Five Stripes right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike Connie and Jason Longshore calling the action for the first time in 4 months. We'll have Jason's dulcet tones calling a game as Atlanta United gets ready to take on New York Red Bulls. We invite you to check in on all the action with the voice of Atlanta United, Mike Connie, and his cohort, the man who knows more about soccer in the United States than anybody we know, Jason Longshore, who joins us this morning. Again, on the WadeFord.com hotline. Morning to you, Jason.
Jason.
Good morning, guys.
So, Jason, overall last night, what did you think of the play of the first game out on MLS starting the season back up?
Yeah, it was about what we've seen in other leagues, including the NWSL in this country. You know, the intensity was good, and that was the biggest question I had because you expect it to be a little floppy. You know, you can only do so much in training to prepare for a match, and you can be physically fit, and you can do all the drills and you can think you're ready, but until you get into a match situation, that's when things change. That's when you look a little rusty at times. And it showed. But I thought the intensity was good. I thought both teams were really going for it. It ended up being a really entertaining match. And, hey, I mean, John, I know you like to take some cracks at Orlando, but that's a big night for the Lions. They looked very different than we're used to seeing Orlando City.
Hey, no, congratulations to them. I'm glad that in their history they finally had a big night.
Yeah, that ain't going to change. You know, he's going to be who he is.
Good entertainment, though. I like it.
Jason Longshore. So what is this? You know, now that we have an idea of this, you know, one of the things I did notice was that the players, within 10 minutes, they were soaking wet because it was so hot and so humid. Is that play into the hands of Atlanta United that it might slow Red Bulls in their press down if they just are not fit, match fit yet, and they get tired early?
It could. It's a little hard to tell since it's game one, so you would expect that the Red Bulls would be as fresh as they possibly could be in that press. You would expect that they'd be ready to go. Game three might be a different story, but the bigger thing looking back at the Red Bulls and looking back at some of the comments from their manager, Chris Armas, in the preseason, they're trying to add a few more wrinkles to the way they play. And every time they've tried to do this over the years, they've struggled, and they've always went back to the press. That has worked for them. That's what the Red Bull teams do around the world. I watched the match in Utah, RSL, which had some altitude, but didn't really have, you know, the same type of temperature issues that you're talking about in Orlando. And Red Bull sat back more than I've ever seen them sit back in a match. They conceded over 20 shots to RSL. They looked like a very different team. I'm curious to see if they come in and feel like they can't press as much from the beginning because of the conditions, and they try to play a different way. I think that would play into Atlanta United's hands.
Well, you know, that's a really good point, Jason, because this is life without Joseph, because it's the first game really without Joseph. And even though it's been 4 months since, you know, his injury, because it's been 4 months since he played a game. And we know that in the history, a short, brief history of Atlanta United, one way to counter, at least attempt to counter Atlanta United, has been for teams to bunker. You know, when they can't run with Atlanta United, so they bunker. Is that going to be the case without Joseph Martinez, or is it Joseph that they bunker against?
It could be the way to attack them this time, because whatever the situation is, the opponent throws at Atlanta, they're going to need to get some touches early on for the attack. And that's going to be the biggest question as we wait for that lineup on Saturday, is to what the attack is going to look like, what Frank DeBoer is going to choose for the starting 11, because there's a lot of different kinds of options on the table. You know, we've seen Adam John start up top since Joseph Martinez was injured. With J.J. Williams has been added to the team. Those are more traditional number nine forwards to replace Joseph Martinez. We've seen Pity Martinez start in that role. Frank DeBoer and Ezequiel Barco yesterday, when he spoke to the media, talked about Manuel Castro being potentially in that mix of at least part of the front three. Mateus Hosetu is another one who could factor in as a part of that front three. And they're going to need touches. So if a team bunkers against them, it's going to help Atlanta at least get comfortable and then knock the ball around a little bit. But just like we saw last night, where teams needed a little bit of time to get their feet underneath them, Atlanta's going to need that too, because they're not going to have number seven that they're used to up top.
We're talking to Jason Longshore, Atlanta United analyst, on the WaveForward.com hotline. You know, we've seen a few games moved around. We've seen a few dates moved. But how flexible does this tournament have? How much flexibility does it have, knowing that you still have to play a knockout stage?
I think the flexibility that it has left in it is really based on what happens with Nashville SC. They're the other team outside of SC Dallas that has had issues with players coming into the bubble and testing positive upon arrival, and then immediately after arrival, and they've been quarantined and they've been isolated away from the rest of the group, and there's a question on if they're going to be able to participate. Outside of that, it has been a handful of positive tests with teams arriving on site, which I think is to be expected. There hasn't been spread inside the bubble, which means the bubble's working. Don Garber talked about that last night on the broadcast.
But it's tough. I mean, I think anybody trying to do professional sports right now has to have flexibility built into whatever they're going to do, because everybody is learning every day, all of us included, on how to handle this and how to best protect ourselves. And it changes, and protocols change, and best practices change. And, you know, you go back to the Bundesliga, which finished their season. They had to change a lot of things every day leading up to the restart for them, and then they made changes after they restarted. So MLS is no different. I think there's flexibility built into the concept, but the biggest flexibility that's left is going to be what happens with Nashville SC.
Jason Longshore joining us. Jason, expand this out a little bit. Let's talk about World Cup here. The United States, as we grow as a soccer country here, one position we've had great success with on the world stage where we have had Americans be world stars at a position as keeper, Casey Keller, Brad Guzan, certainly Tim Howard. But that's been the one spot. And other spots, not so much. I mean, we had Clint Dempsey and Landon Donovan, but they weren't really world-class players. We're seeing what Christian Pulisic is doing at Chelsea. Is he becoming a world-class player?
I think you have to consider that with where he's at right now and the performances he's been putting in, not just one-offs lately. He's been Chelsea's best player lately. And Chelsea is a team that has a lot of ambition. You know, they're one of the few teams in the world that is spending money at the moment to upgrade going into next season. I think they're really pushing to be in that big, and it's been a big two in England the last couple of years with Liverpool and Manchester City. It might be a big three next year. Manchester City could drop off of that, as we've seen this year a little bit. They've got some issues with potentially being banned from European competition. Pulisic to be a key player in a team like that would be a first. And that's something that, you know, if you're a U.S. soccer fan, you don't want to put the hopes and dreams too much on still a young player. But Christian Pulisic is not completely new to the situation. You know, he developed at Borussia Dortmund, which is a big club. He's got Champions League experience at Dortmund under his belt. And now he's thriving at Chelsea, who wants to be one of the biggest clubs in the world. They're trying to get into that English title race. And if Christian Pulisic continues to perform at the level he is, he is going to be one of those world superstars that the U.S. has never had on the field.
Yeah, his last goal, if you haven't seen it the other night, was just bananas. It was a full-length – it was just like, okay, that is top five player in the world worthy, at least for a one play at least. I mean, it was tremendous what he was able to do.
What I love, too, that he's done, and it's been – you know, he's had some questions at Chelsea. And, you know – any sport you think of, when you have a young player starts to break through, you see a manager or a coach put the brakes on them just a little bit, you know, slow them down, maybe sit them on the bench this game, maybe question them a little bit to see if they answer back. He's done that consistently. Every time he's been, you know, he started on the bench, he's come off the bench as a sub, or he hasn't gotten a start, or he's been pulled early, he comes back with a big performance. I think that's a credit to the character that he has and the ability that he has to answer those questions.
All right, Saturday night, you're going to be broadcasting with Mike Conley. I know you're going to be in studio. It's going to be a little bit different trying to call the game, but Red Bulls and Atlanta United, you got to be excited.
I can't wait. Last night, I'm not going to lie, it was pretty emotional to see MLS back. I have to give a shout to the Black Players Coalition. If you did not see the opening to the match last night, go back and find it. Go back and read about it and the statements that they made on the field without saying a word. It was incredibly powerful, and it's a full credit to the group of players, including a lot of Atlanta United players and the league, to support that.
Jason, as always, again, we look forward to the broadcast and highlights. It'll be great to hear your voice, you know, waxing poetic about scores and games. Thanks much.
Thanks, guys.
Jason Longshore joining us, Atlanta United analyst on the WadeFord.com hotline. Atlanta United, New York Red Bulls, live on Sports Radio 92 on the game Saturday night. Mike Conley and Jason Longshore on the call. Make sure you listen to the hometown broadcast. Sync it up with the TV if you want, and you can do that through the Radio.com app, too. All right, all ahead, Chad Millman live with the Action Network. We're going to be talking about some of the odds here. What a great question that Abe put down on the rundown here, Hugh, that we can ask. What are the betting odds for the new nicknames of the Cleveland Indians and the Washington Redskins? Is there a favorite on the board in Vegas? That's next on The Morning Show with John and you on Sports Radio 92 on The Game and, of course, worldwide at radio.com.
9 The Game.
Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on The Game. Chad Millman of the Action Network joins us every Thursday at this time. Talk a little bit about the edge you can get. And now we actually have sports to talk about betting on, team sports to talk about betting on, sponsored by the Action Network. If you're looking for that edge, you download the free Action Network app. Get live odds, expert analysis for every game. Also go to actionnetwork.com. That's actionnetwork.com, or in the App Store for Action Network. And Chad joins us, Sporting Live on the WayForward.com hotline. Morning to you, Chad. What up?
Good morning, fellas. How you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. How you doing, Chad?
Well, I feel really good. I think it's a little bit because of what John said. Like, things are maybe coming back. You know, I'm still a little bit, like, I'm optimistic things will start. I worry that they won't finish. That is my state of mind.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying. And with that being said, you know, UFC had this weekend, had a main event. Had to switch it. Is that good or bad for bookmakers? And how does a short prep time adjust to what when you set the line?
Oh, I think it doesn't really matter that much. I think that more importantly is that there's a main event, right? And like UFC 250 was a massive, massive win for bookmakers and for sports fans in general. Like, it generated a lot of attention. It generated a lot of handle for bookmakers. And I think we're treating this in a similar way at Action. I know a lot of the operators like DraftKings, FanDuel, MGM, et cetera, are treating it the same way. Like, you know, and John, I know you're a huge fight fan. Like, these UFC events are becoming things that a lot of sports fans are rallying around. And when you have a main event like this, it's going to generate a lot of attention. So we're already seeing a lot of buzz and a lot of activity around this fight.
Is Fight Island going to have any impact on that? Is it going to make it more or less?
I think it's a cool way to phrase it, right? It's like
Fight
Island, Manila, right? It's yeah. Like cool branding and cool marketing. Like, if you're not there, then it doesn't matter if the fight's on Fight Island or the middle of Vegas or the middle of Atlantic City. You're still going to watch it. You're still going to get the action on it. It's not going to have any impact on the handicapping, but it really sounds cool.
Chad, you know, Hugh and I have been discussing this, obviously, a point of conversation here. Over the last week or so, you know, the names Redskins and Indians, and now we hear that the Redskins are dropping the all the imagery around the team, and they're keeping the colors and whatnot. Is there actually a betting line on what the new nicknames of the Redskins and Indians are going to be? And if so, what are the favorites on the boards for those nicknames?
No, there are. Those are things you can't really, like, from a legal bookmaker perspective, you could never make a line on, because the options are infinite, right? There's no binary choice, right? With the fight this weekend, you can choose one fighter or the other. With future odds, you can choose, you know, where are the Braves going to be versus the Yankees. But with sort of choosing nicknames, even if you were choosing, like, remember, you know, way, way, way back in the day, probably before any of these listeners were even born, the big guess was who shot JR in the show Dallas, right?
Oh, I remember that. Then, that was a big deal.
Even then, I mean, we all remember it because we're all old, but most people who are listening to this are probably pretty young. And so, like, even then you had sort of a finite number of choices with this. Like, until sort of someone from the team in Washington or from Cleveland decides, okay, these are going to be the five choices, then you can start to set a betting line.
I mean, you couldn't even do it, like, let's say, in the case of Washington, you couldn't say, okay, we're hearing, you know, Warriors, Generals, Red Tails, Red Hawks, and then Field, and which could be, you know, anything else?
I mean, yeah, but I guess you could do that. But then at least, like, you're working from a set of choices. And I know those are some of the ones that have been thrown around, but we haven't heard anything official from the organization that sort of gives you a real sense of what the official options could be.
Understood. I was just kind of curious if there was a line there. And
yeah.
I tell you what, when there is.
Question. And, like, it's a really good parlor game right now, right? Because
right.
All of a sudden, like, knock on wood, we get a football season in 6 weeks, and there very well may be a new nickname for one of the most storied franchises in the most important sport, the most important sport in the country. And, like, you're seeing, you know, Washington gear pulled from the shelves of Amazon and Nike and everywhere else. And so certainly if there is going to be a season, if the Redskins want to contribute to the revenue for overall for the NFL, then they're going to need to figure out a nickname pretty fast.
Well, the Indians play in 2 weeks. So, I mean, if they're going to change, they got to move fast.
Yeah, right. Imagine, like, I guess they're just going to go with their hats with the C on them all season, because otherwise right. it's going to be hard to get new merch out.
Right.
Chad, are there any specific bets right now for the NBA bubble? Like, you know, leading score, anything like that, leading rebound at the complex in Disney?
Yeah, I mean, look, the most important bets are all going to be about the team bets right now, right? I mean, the leading score bets are all going to be about Giannis and LeBron and James Harden, and because those are the guys who were leading when the season ended, and those are the guys who, like, in a shortened time span, which is really, you're talking about 2 weeks, that's what you're going to be thinking about. But also don't forget, and this is, I apologize, I just don't know the answer. Like, my sense is that the stats from pre-COVID will carry over for the last 2 weeks of the season. So, you know, Giannis was averaging 27 points a game, and they're not going to start over and say, okay, this is your sort of points per game inside the bubble. It'll probably be sort of combined as one season-long number is my guess.
Kind of curious, too, just broadly here, what has, you know, you expect, I would imagine, Chad, more action on Major League Soccer just because we have Atlanta United coming up against Red Bulls on Saturday. Might be the most viewed Atlanta United game outside of the championship because of the interest in the city of Atlanta and the fact that, you know, we haven't had anything else, so it may be heavily viewed here. Are you seeing, you know, you talk about uptick in action here. We see an uptick in action in Major League Soccer. Is it golf because of hitting it over under 375,000 yards every drive, or is it, you know, Bubba Wallace and the impact of NASCAR? Or what are you seeing broadly, kind of fill me in here on where you're seeing the activity really kind of surge a little bit?
Golf, 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 and more golf. It's really been the sport that has popped. UFC, you know, was already a sport that was getting a lot of activity and interest, but golf has really taken off, partially because, you know, NASCAR just hasn't sort of galvanized the betting community in the same way that golf has. And between the Tiger and Phil match and between the other exhibition that was Rory and DJ and Matthew Wolf and those guys, and then with the season starting in Dallas about a month and a half ago with the Charles Schwab, the Colonial, the golf market has been – sorry about that, guys. My dog is barking. The golf market has been exploding, and we're seeing it in our traffic. We have a partnership with the PGA Tour, and we're doing these pre-match shows on Wednesday nights, and you can see sort of how the audience is growing every single week. There's more and more attention being paid to golf. That's been fascinating. I will say that, you know, with MLS opening yesterday, we posted a bunch of MLS stories, and we were pretty surprised at sort of the intense activity around the traffic for those stories. So it does at least bode well for the initial stages of the MLS coming back.
What's your dog's name?
Oh, boy. Our dog's name is Mac, and I'll tell you the full story. You know, we got this dog 5 years ago when my kids were younger. You know, my younger son was, I think, what is he now, 14? So he was probably he's almost 14, so he was 8 or 9 at the time. And I wanted to go to, like, the pound and get, like, a dog for $200 that we were going to rescue that was really big and weighed 100 pounds and was sort of, you know, slobbery and messy, and we called it Buddy, and, like, it was too big to even walk. And then it turned out that my older son was allergic to dogs. So then we had to get one of those, like, pure, like, those bred dogs that you mix that are per poodle. Because
yeah, hypoallergenic dogs. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I had to get my son
exactly,
one.
Right.
Like a Labradoodle or something like that.
Hypoallergenic.
Yeah.
That's the word. So we had to get a hypoallergenic dog. So instead of it being $200, it was about $3,000. We had to fly it from, believe it or not, Atlanta, by way of Florida, because they had to go to doggy school for 2 weeks first, And then we finally got it in Connecticut. And instead of being like 200 pounds and being called Buddy, it's about 20 pounds. And it's a schnoodle. And we call it Mac, which is short for Mackenzie, which is named after the lead actress in the movie Teen Beach Movie 2, because that's what my younger son loved the day that we got the dog.
I mean, hey, I had to do it too. My son's dog name is Jackson. So I definitely know what you're talking about. And he loves that dog. Nice? I mean, smart dog, little dog, but they're good pets. They're really good pets.
They're amazing, and we love the dog. I mean, my wife, like, thinks about this dog more than she thinks about anybody else in the house. But, like, I lost every battle in what we were going to do with this dog. And to this day, it haunts me.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it usually goes. You have no say. It's the kid's dog. You're just a guy that fits the bill. So just suck it up and enjoy.
I'm not even close to the most important human in the house. I'm less important than the actual dog.
That's how it goes, man. That's how it goes.
Chad, next time just bet against yourself. You'll make some money.
If I were to bet against myself every day, I'd be still rich, but there'd be nobody paying me.
What are the odds of that? All right, Chad, as always, we look forward to talking to you going forward here as we get not only that, but I would imagine baseball is 2 weeks away. It's going to be such a good time. Thank God July is here.
Thank God, fellas.
Thank you, Chad.
Have a good one.
Talk to you.
Chad and Mac joining us on the WayForward.com hotline. Really, they cost that much, Hugh, these hyperallergenic dogs?
Hey, man, them dogs ain't cheap. They ain't cheap.
Man, that's a little pricey. Will Carroll will join us. And, of course, injuries are going to be a big thing now. If they weren't before, boy, they're really going to start to ramp up now. We'll keep an eye on that. It's not just the COVID. It's also all the rest of the stuff that would normally keep a player out of action.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.